of snakes. Kama Bikaman, desiring the sense objects. Anu, following. Yaha, the person who. Prapatam, falling down in this condition. Prasangat, because of bad association or increased association with material desires. Kritvatmasa, causing me to acquire spiritual qualities like himself, Sri Narada. I think this has awoken your interest about what will come in this verse. Sudarshina, by the great saintly person Narada, Bhagavan, O my Lord, Grihita, accepted, Saha, that person, Aham, I, Katam, how, Nu, indeed, Visrije, can give up, Tava, your, Britya Sevam, the service of your pure devotee. Translation. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant Narada Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? Purport. Now this is a very, very moving purport. The verse is also very deep. As will be seen in later verses, even though Prahlad Maharaj was directly offered all the benedictions he might have desired, he refused to accept such offerings from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the contrary, he asked the Lord to engage him in the service of his servant, Narada Muni. This is the symptom of a pure devotee. One should serve the spiritual master first. It is not that one should bypass the spiritual master and desire to serve the Supreme Lord. This is not the principle for a Vaishnava. Narottam Das Thakur says, Tandira charana sevi bhakta sanevasa janame janamahoye eyabilasa. One should not be anxious to offer direct service to the Lord. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised that one become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Gopir bhaktu parakamalayo dasa dasanudasa. This is the process for approaching the Supreme Lord. The first service should be rendered to the spiritual master, so that by his mercy, one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead to render service. While teaching Rupa Goswami, there's something in the air. Am I the only one with mixed emotions about the sound? That is the case. So maybe, Dominik, du bist da mit Sachkunde hingegangen oder mit Vrindavaneshwari ist eigentlich die Meisterin des Klanges in diesem Tempel. Vrindavaneshwari, hörst du das Problem? Das ist so ein sehr hohes das ist also die reinste Nerven, das Nervengift in Klang, dieser Sound. Das ist sehr gefährlich für, ja, jetzt ist besser. auch nicht die Idee. Gut. Ja, danke schön. Vielen Dank, Vrindavan Eshwari. Check es aber bitte noch, dass es nicht zurückkommt, weil das ist wirklich gefährlich für Nerven, dieses. While teaching Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Guru Krishna Prasada Pai Bhakti Lata Beach, one can achieve the seed of devotional service by the mercy of the Guru, the spiritual master, and then by the mercy of Krishna. This is the secret of success. First one should try to please the spiritual master, and then one should attempt to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says, Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasada. One should not attempt to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by concoction. One must first be prepared to serve the spiritual master, and when one is qualified, he is automatically offered the platform of direct service to the Lord. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj proposed that he engage in the service of Narada Muni. He never proposed that he engage directly in the service of the Lord. This is the right conclusion. Therefore, he said, So hang katang nu visiche tava britya sevam. How can I give up the service of my spiritual master who has favored me in such a way that I am now able to see you face to face? Prahlad Maharaj prayed to the Lord that he might continue to engage in the service of his spiritual master, Narada Muni. So this is a very important text, and therefore I would like to make the conditions ideal for you to hear and absorb the lecture. Vrindavaneshwari, du hast jetzt das Kind mit der Badewanne ausgeschüttet, wie man sagt in Deutsch. Das heißt, du hast mich ausgestellt. Das ist nicht unser Ziel. Unser Ziel ist zu hören, die Vorlesung durch die Lautsprecher, aber störungsfrei. Das heißt, du musst die Höhen runterdrehen. Und einfach dann und so weiter. Es ist eigentlich eine recht einfache Sache. Nur die Höhen weg, dass diese nicht in die Nerven geht, ja? Du hast eben was verändert. Ja, so ist ideal. Vielen herzlichen Dank in diesem Beweis deiner verzögerten Intelligenz. Evan Janang Nipatitang Prabhava Ikupe kama vikamam anuya prapatan prasangat kritvat masat surasina bhagavan grihita sohankatang nuvisiche tava britya sevam. Translation. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires, one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant Narada Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? This verse. Sorry, did we say Nama Om Vishnu Padaya? No. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Simad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shaji Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Devotees all over the world have often gone to this verse in order to improve their relationship to Srila Prabhupada, and if they are not Prabhupada's disciple, to their own spiritual masters, but also to Srila Prabhupada. And this verse remains for many devotees an all-time favorite, which comes to their help in times of spiritual need. The context in which this verse appears is very interesting and noteworthy. When Prahlad Maharaj was threatened by his father to be killed, then, as we all know, Lord Nrsimhadev appeared in a very angry form and killed the father. Afterwards, he said to Prahlad, "Dear son, I'm very sorry I was late," because he came in the last minute, really, last second, you can say. And he offered Prahlad Maharaj benedictions. Anything Prahlad Maharaj would have desired at that moment, Nrsimhadev, Lord Nrsimhadev, would have given it to him. But Prahlad Maharaj said he wanted to be directly the servant of his spiritual master, and he also didn't want direct service to Krishna. This is very relevant. Srila Prabhupada has commented in his purport about several aspects, but I would like to read to you like what is the main theme of the purport. He says, "The first service should be rendered to the spiritual master so that by his mercy one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead to render service." This is really, in one sentence, the a good explanation of what we mean when we speak of service to the spiritual master. So the first service is to him, so that we are empowered by his mercy to render direct service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, I want to discuss today this single sentence of Srila Prabhupada and want to preach on this. This will be one lecture which you will remember for a long time if you are able to grasp the concepts. But it will require your concentration, because I want to talk about many points, and I will not give stories or humorous examples to illustrate them. So we will really have to concentrate to understand the concepts, because I will not do this for you. You will have to do it for yourself. Srila Prabhupada said in the opening words of the Bhagavad Gita that in spreading Krishna consciousness, he was interested in one moon, not in many stars. What he was indicating is a verse by the great moral author or ethical author Chanakya Pandit. Chanakya Pandit said, "Even one qualified son is better than hundreds of sons who are worthless. A single moon destroys darkness, the darkness of the night, whereas thousands of stars do not." The success of the movement for Krishna consciousness, in other words, cannot really be measured by numbers of devotees who join, but it can be measured by the quality of those devotees who have joined. Not by the numbers, but by quality. Just like if you look in the night sky, the moon, if you take percentage with the stars, is very, very small percentage. It's really only one, and there may be thousands of stars. But this one moon is more efficient or does more than the millions of suns, stars. Srila Prabhupada was asked about this point in Australia by one reporter. He said, why, if your movement is so deep, is only a very small percentage of the people joining you? We might ourselves have asked ourselves this question sometimes. Oh, what's wrong with this movement? It's such a good philosophy and everything. But so few people join. Sometimes we as preachers could run up and down the walls because of this. Where are the intelligent people of this country? Why are they sleeping and not taking this to heart? So Srila Prabhupada answered this reporter, according to percentage, the moon is nothing. But one moon is more important than all the nonsense stars, he said, all the nonsense stars. So Krishna consciousness, or the movement of Krishna consciousness, really aspires to create moons. Srila Prabhupada said, if I can create one moon, that is sufficient. If one understands rightly, he can deliver the whole world. And then he said, in the same breath, in the same Atemzug, so that we get some, just a bisschen hier aufatmen können, that we get some life. He said, by Krishna's grace, many moon-like boys and girls have come to me. Many moon-like boys and girls have come to me. Coming back to the point of disappointment that not so many join, if you have the right attitude and look towards quality, then you can take great courage. In this movement, we have actually we have really nice moon-like devotees, and of course we have also a few stars which are good for nothing like me, there are many moons also. In preaching especially, we should take this point to heart. Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, used to help his preachers to overcome the disappointment. He said, don't be disappointed if no one comes. Doesn't matter. Because we are not for quantity, we are for quality. If no one comes, you can preach to the four walls. Don't be disappointed. And he said, if you come and sell a diamond, you will not find so many customers, because naturally the price is very high, isn't it? If you see the, some Indios from Mexico who make some money, they have these glass pearls. Many are around it and take and buy, but in the jeweler shops where the real jewels are, you will find one person coming in, and the jeweler is not frustrated. He just waits for that one person, and then he buys. Oh, what is this? What is the price of this jewel? Oh, only 20 million marks. Oh, this says the customer. That's nothing. I also here and write the check. So he is not has no problem with this the jewel. So we want moons. Now, of course, Srila Prabhupada said, many moon-like boys and girls have come to me, but sometimes we might ask a challenging question. I've often heard this been asked. Has the Krishna conscious movement created even one moon? Sometimes outsiders ask us this question. And Srila Prabhupada's response is, it is possible if they have a character. By character it is possible. Character means some basic integrity to keep promises, keep the promises of the initiation vows, so on, and some gratefulness to Krishna and the spiritual master. These are some qualities of character. So once Prabhupada was asked, what is the quality of a moon-like devotee? How should we please you most, Srila Prabhupada? And he gave the quality. He said, if you love Krishna, that's the quality of the moon-like devotee. So now, these points, when a devotee hears these points, he becomes very introspective and he wants to, follow, he wants to also become a moon-like devotee. Isn't it? How do you feel? Adishesh. Will man versuchen, nicht? Also, wenn schon, denn schon. Keine halben Sachen. This is what a devotee will also, when he hears it, is think, oh, moon-like devotee. Me? But and sometimes devotees, when we bring these points, they become distressed. Oh no! Again, the discussion comes to standards and spiritual life, and I'm giving already my best. I can't, drive faster in my spiritual life. But please, be positive. Think positive, as Rohini Sudha Prabhu always says. The example of the moon has also a very solacing, as a tröstenden aspect. The moon has some dark spots, you can see, but the light überwiegt. The light is more there. So even if a devotee has some dark spots, he may be attached to this and that and the other thing, if he is just engaged in devotional service, that's the point, these dark spots really don't matter, and Krishna doesn't want that the devotees are criticized because of these mistakes which are still present. He says, Sadhu Eva Samantavya, that he's rightly engaged and should be considered a saint because he's on the right path. That's the path of devotional service. So this is my first subject. I will now go to the second subject, which I find extremely interesting. It's about the relationship of the spiritual master and his disciples. Srila Prabhupada has quoted a very interesting verse about this relationship. How spiritual masters should be towards their disciples. And I think you would all be very interested to hear the Betriebsgeheimnis. That is, how spiritual masters think of training their disciples in spiritual life. So please listen to the Betriebsgeheimnis. Chanakya Prabhupada quoted in this regard the verse of Betriebsgeheimnis is a difficult word in English. It's like the secret of the trade, you could say. The first 5 years, be lenient with the son. Now, to be, I have to give the German translation. Lenient bedeutet so viel wie, sei so, gib ihm die lange Leine. Wie sagt man? Nachsichtig. Sehr gut. Nachsichtig. Das ist das richtige Wort. In educating a son, or for the first five years, be lenient. Then, from 5 to 15, chastise, no, teach him, and after 16, develop a friendly relationship with him. Now, we are all disciples who sit in this room, including me here, who's hovering over the ground at the present moment. We are all disciples, and I think we would all like to have a friendly relationship with our spiritual master, isn't it? A friendship means very close, very near and dear, very intimate, very sharing, very you know, something for the heart. This is what friendship means. So I think we will all be very interested to hear how we can reach this platform in our spiritual life. Well, this comes when we grow up in our relationship to the spiritual master. In the first, I have studied a little bit about how Srila Prabhupada trained us, his disciples. And please listen to this. It's very, very nice. In the first years in Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada called his movement the kindergarten. He used this German word. It's actually in the English language already. It's an established word. There is no better word than the kindergarten. He said ISKCON, or his movement, is the kindergarten of spiritual life. That means these 5 years, you know, in the beginning, sehr nachsichtig, sehr lenient, very lenient. I remember reading in the Only He Could Lead Them volume of the Lilamrita, how in the beginning in San Francisco, his disciples were so attached to these donuts. Do not know if you know what it is. The Kringel, sagt man, oder Donuts. And made by Kamis. Who is a cook here? I will turn towards you. Can you bake? I think you need eggs to bake them. The Kamis at least do it. No? Yes. In Krishna consciousness. But I think the Kamis use eggs, isn't it? Must be. So, anyways, his disciples couldn't give up that attachment and to donuts. And now the temple was in Frederick Street in San Francisco, and Prabhupada's apartment was up the street somewhere and then left, or I do not really know exactly where. So the donut shop, here was the temple, and here was Prabhupada's apartment, the donut shop was there. So sometimes after the lecture or before the lecture, Gadadha, das ist jetzt so gut, nicht schlafen. Prabhupada would go, make a little detour, a little umweg, and go to the donut shop. Now listen. And he saw how his disciples went under the table to hide there. To one devotee, Hayagriva, he was so deadly attached to the chocolate, where they use cacao, that Prabhupada had to give him the permission, yes, you can eat chocolate. You know, isn't that a kindergarten? Isn't that a, now we understand the word, why Prabhupada said, a kindergarten of spiritual life, you know. But later, Srila Prabhupada, and you know, I joined in that time a little bit, when ISKCON was very nachsichtig. I just joined the day when the devotee had decided that they would take every morning a bath. You know, I got the tapa period. That's when I joined. But there was still, that was very tapasya-like, because we only had cold water. I still remember how two devotees, I was very young and very, you know, I was maybe 100 times as lively as now. You can't believe, you know, and a cold, I would go like, wah! And just jump out of the bar, the thing, and two had to hold me and then give me an abhishek. So there was the tapasya days in Krishna consciousness, and so then one day we all heard that Prabhupada had now instituted a temple program in the morning where we had to get up early and do the Mangal Aarti, Guru Pooj, and lecture every day. And he had asked his leading devotees, temple presidents, to come to Los Angeles, where he personally showed them how to do it, like the Sanskrit, reading the Sanskrit texts. This is all Prabhupada trained his devotees. There was all of a sudden a change. And he began to train us. In other words, he considered us 5 years old in spiritual life. No longer kindergarten, now the school comes. And he trained us and also used discipline in that time. And he expected his devotees to follow. And he became visibly displeased when devotees would not follow. Harishori Prabhu writes in the book Transcendental Diary three stages of Prabhupada's displeasure or even anger. The first stage was he would be, when he was mildly angry, he would use sarcasm. For instance, there was one disciple, I forgot his name, he starts with P, who had a strong problem with Prabhupada because Prabhupada said they never went to the moon. So one day in TV there was a recapturing of the Apollo 11 landing on the moon. And this disciple, to show Prabhupada that they actually landed on the moon, had arranged for a TV, and Prabhupada sat there and watched the whole thing while his head was shaved. He watched it, and then afterwards he shook his hand. I don't know, you were maybe too young. I also saw that movie when they landed. Boom! And you know, it looks as if they landed. Gerade hat auch den Film gesehen. And Prabhupada, afterwards he said, they never went to the moon. It is not possible. It is... and this disciple, how can he say such a thing? So the next day, this disciple cooked in the kitchen. He was a personal servant. And all of a sudden, you could hear from the kitchen an explosion. What had happened? Fire had leaped into the scoop, Kelle, when this devotee was preparing the shans, and the shans had caught fire. That sometimes happens even in our kitchen. And the Feuer springt da rein, leaps in and ignites the thing in a... So then devotees, us, you know, they it was like quite disturbing, and the one devotee ran in the kitchen, the kitchen door was open, so Prabhupada, they all asked, what happened? Prabhupada said, so-and-so, his personal service, has flown to the moon. So this is what broke the back of the camel, so to say. And the disciple actually left Srila Prabhupada's association afterwards. And so that was the first sign of anger, mild anger. It's called sarcasm. Now, I want to just make sure. Verstehst du? English? Also, ungefähr 50%. Ist da nicht eine Übersetzung ins Deutsche da? 50% ist auch gut. Ja, gut. Und so lernt man auch Englisch. Man muss einfach hören und versuchen zu... Genau. So, now... The next stage was when it was greater, Prabhupada's lower lip would start to tremble. Und da musste man vorsichtig sein. And then when a disciple actually committed an offense to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada would not speak with the disciple. That was the highest point. When he would stop speaking to the disciple, then it was not Prabhupada did not comment anything, nothing. So I feel it is very important for us to think about it. Sometimes devotees are asking themselves, why was Srila Prabhupada so heavy? And also sometimes devotees come in a little crisis, thinking, oh, why is my spiritual master so heavy always? Why doesn't he just talk Krishna Leela from the beginning of the day until we fall asleep, whenever that is? That is often a question. I knew in my relationship to Srila Prabhupada, I was chastised 3 times very heavy. And when I was chastised, I felt very happy actually, but afterwards this doubt came. I want to answer this by bringing you to a morning walk conversation of Srila Prabhupada with one Dr. Patel. In this morning walks, Srila Prabhupada would often criticize the spiritual heroes of India. You know, he would say things about the famous so-and-so, and the famous so-and-so would say, he is bogus, he says he is God. And Mr. Patel said, you are so hard. And Prabhupada said, I must be hard. Then Mr. Patel said, but you are not only hard, you are also harsh. Wie sagt man harsh? Also, dann eben harsh. Ne? You are also harsh. And Prabhupada said, yes, it is my duty. Often, people in the audience would react when Prabhupada said, someone who does not surrender to Krishna, he is lowest of the mankind. He is a rascal. And then Prabhupada said, not I am saying, it's Krishna saying. You know, he must. Why must? Because if there is no discipline, we will remain in our wrong conceptions. If we are not guided strongly, we will not have a chance. In this connection, I want to tell you the story of the famous gangster with the ironic name Babyface Nelson. He had murdered many people, and he was executed, executed in San Quentin. That's a famous prison in America. And now he had a last letzter Wunsch, a last desire, and he said, bring my aunt, meine Tante. See, his mother had died and or something was with his mother, so his Tante, the aunt, had brought him up. And so the aunt was brought, and she had all tears. Now her protege, Schützling, was to be killed, and Babyface said, come, I want to tell you something in your ear, only for you. He was there, you know, with Hans Scherin. And she came down, and then he went like, ah! And bit, and had his ear abgebissen, bit the ear away. And everyone was like, was bleeding. She was screaming, my ear! So on. And then he was asked, why did you do this? To top all of your sins, you know, to give it the cake, the cream on these strawberries. Why did you do this cruel act? And he screamed. He was all in tears. It was all emotional. Auntie, Tante, if you would have applied more discipline, I would not be like this. and I would not have been killed. I would not be killed now. No, the electric chair is not a nice sofa to sit on. You know. So this is the point. We need disciplines. Prabhus, Matajis, friends, and the whole world, we need discipline. Otherwise, how will we have a chance? We have been born in Kali Yuga. Our minds are so restless, attached to material things. Oh, even envy is in our heart. We need a strong hand, a strong guiding hand. This is not something which is, how do you say, which is unangenehm. We should not be depressed if we are criticized by our spiritual master. We should be depressed if we are not criticized. It's the mercy of the spiritual master if he tells us, please, here is a mistake, there, and please do this. It is very bad if he just says, do what you like. Die Hauptsache, du bleibst dabei. The main thing is you continue the process. You know, this is not what we should aim for in a relationship. We know how Sri Vishnupad always in a very moved way talks about how Srila Prabhupada chastised him and how he's so grateful. And he speaks about this wonderful relationship of a disciple to a guru, how he came to Srila Prabhupada offering him books in Hyderabad after all his disciples know actually the story, and how Prabhupada was so pleased that he understood, his disciple understood why he had acted towards him in a hard way. You know, he felt very moved and also had tears in his eyes because he saw, yes, he understood. Once a devotee in Mayapur, a manager, was chastised by Srila Prabhupada and he was very hurt. He felt deeply hurt inside. And Srila Prabhupada, and he wrote a letter to him expressing his feelings of hurt. And Srila Prabhupada, he answered, written it down, uno momento, don't feel hurt. Don't feel depression. It is the duty of the spiritual master to correct his disciples. But we should not think that this, you know, this correction is not like the ordinary, ordinary correction, which we are so afraid of in this world, because it is done with misgunst, with a bad feeling. You know, when we are usually corrected, we can know the person who corrects us has a bad feeling towards us. I remember this once. I was very active in Maya, unfortunately. And therefore, I was always very tired when I came to the school. I used the nights for hearing music and for going to places. And so I was very active. And then I slept during the school because it was so boring. And I remember this one time I was lying on with my ear on the table and just resting out of, you know, it was really finished, you know. And then the teacher, I can auch noch den Namen, Herr von, Herr, just now I don't remember him, but he threw all his keys, maybe 20 keys on my table. And when you are with the ear on the on a school table, it's like an explosion. And I woke up and I was still dizzy. So das lasse ich nicht mehr so. Das war zu viel. That was just over the limit, and I took the whole thing and I just took all my thing and threw it on the table where he had written his boring Deutsch lessons, you know, and so on. And then I walked out of the class. I know what false ego is. I have it myself. very strongly, and just too much. So you do this, you react like this, because you know there is this evil intention, this bad intention in the person who throws. I mean, you can't do this. You throw a Schlüsselbund. You just go and say, balloon, a little tired today. You know, maybe you should look at it. It's good for your notes. He could have said it in a different way. So, anyways, but he was so evil. He just wanted to torture me. I know it. He had this problem. Minderwertigkeitskomplexes. So anyways, the spiritual master is not like this, and his corrections should not be interpreted in a worldly way. Otherwise, the whole relationship turns sour because of this mundane vision in the disciple. Time and. Srila Prabhupada therefore waited for his one disciple who was going to take him to the airport. But the disciple, Grihastha, it's important this detail to hear Prabhupada's reaction. His disciple, you know, took the opportunity, now I have a car, now I can pick up merchandise in Calcutta, also ich kann Einkäufe erledigen, die sonst schwierig sind. So he didn't come and he didn't come, and the time came and Prabhupada felt nervous, anxious to come to the flight, because these in-light flights, you have to catch them to get your main flight. These are connecting flights only. He had to go to Delhi to go to America. Everything was booked, and he really felt anxiety, and the disciple did not come in time. Another car had to be arranged, which was very difficult and very disturbing to Prabhupada. So he was very angry, and he chastised this disciple. He said, this so-and-so is only interested in his sense gratification. He was really angry, and the disciple, who of course, you know, he also felt terribly sorry. He got stuck somewhere, or Verkehrsstockung and so on. And he heard what Prabhupada had said about him when he was so angry. And it really, disturbed, you know, made him very upset, the disciple. So later the disciple came. He couldn't function any longer. And he said, I'm very sorry, is there any chance? And Prabhupada said, almost with a surprise, what? Oh, that's no longer important. He had forgotten. Forgive and forget was Prabhupada's motto in this. At that moment, there was a severe mistake, and he was chastising, and it really went into the heart of the disciple, but it was not done with the malice. The Absicht war nicht böse. There was no bad intention behind it. So we should never think, when we get the chastisement of our spiritual master, that he is angry at us and get all mental about it and hang ourselves on the next tree or do something foolish like this. It is not this reaction comes from a mundane understanding of the relationship. I know it is hard when one is chastised. Yes, we all, Prabhupada once got very, very angry on me. It was very heavy. I could not think for one whole day afterwards when I got the mercy. It was when I asked this foolish question to Prabhupada, where I wanted to challenge him. Most of you, I have told it so many times, you know it. And now I know, if he would not have answered so strong, you are the rascal. You know, if he would not have done it, I would never have joined. He brought me to Krishna consciousness by his chastisement. Without this, I would not have been saved. I don't even want to think where I would be now. So this is mercy, not. And we want. I would like to be in my own relationship to Prabhupada. I would like him to come and just. Actually, he beats me on the head several just 1 month ago. I was so heavy, came so heavy down. But it's nice. It's nectar. It's bliss. It's giving us the right medicine at the right time. But still, as I started this part of my lecture, we all would like to have this intimate and friendly relationship. So the question is, do we ever turn 16 in the relationship? Right? This is the point. And what do we have to do to turn 16? And the last 5 minutes or so, not more, will be, we will discuss this question. When a disciple grows up, what does he have to do? Well, he internalizes the guru's instruction, and then at that moment he is awarded, is given more freedom. This is how it goes in the relationship. It's no longer the guru who has to tells everything to his disciple, but the disciple knows from having absorbed his instructions and have listened very carefully. He knows, he has it inside. Prabhupada gave a Bhagavatam lecture once where he said, it is not desirable, nicht wünschenswert, that in grown-up ages you should be chastised by your spiritual master. Otherwise, the disciple breaks. If you're grown up, you always get the chastisement. Otherwise, the disciple breaks. We should be conscious, Prabhupada says, of what are the rules and regulations and do them. And in this connection, he said something. I want to repeat it, although, I mean, I'm going to take a shave today. he says, I can only, now I'm old, older, I'm an old man, and you are also older in Krishna consciousness. I can only request you with folded hands, don't grow this hair. Don't grow these hippie seeds, Prabhupada called them. Because we all came with wherever, up to which, you know, that was the fashion at that time. He had long hair. We all came, and Prabhupada saw when the disciples would, you know, grow like, not shave themselves regularly, by his experience, he saw that they were becoming themselves lenient, also sie wurden selber nachsichtig mit sich selber, and all kinds of things started to happen in the movement, like wrong eating habits, and, you know, problems in the Grihastha ashram, changing wives, and the young scandals, so to say. And he all put it together that our old habits came back, growing hippie seeds. So this is Prabhupada's reaction. But he said, I can now only beg you with folded hands. So, if we want to become close to our spiritual master, and if we want to turn 16, leave the 5 to 15 stage, leave the puberty time. Puberty means also, we're gonna have a revolution, you know, and so on. If we want to leave the puberty time, and you know, turn it into very close, we should internalize the instructions and go by them. But we should not also think that this type of friendship will be the promenading rasa, I almost wanted to say, the dominating mood You know, we will never have this type of friendship where we clap our guru in the on the hand and say, "How was prasadam today?" That will not be the mood. In a mature relationship with a spiritual master, there is this element of vishramba. Vishramba means friendliness. This relation is certainly there, but there will always be the a mood that we will never jump over our spiritual master, that we will always remain his learning from him and taking the position of a humble student who approaches his teacher in a naturally in a humble way. But that's what we desire, and that's what the spiritual master desires more than anything. Prabhupada, sometimes he would say to us, to his disciples, "When are you ever going to? When are you ever going to think for yourself?" He sometimes would say like this. He would desire that his disciples would grow up. And if he would hear how a disciple did something, or he was so proud. Srila Prabhupada was so proud, you can't imagine, like a father. You know, Vaterstolz, most of you are not fathers, at least you're young fathers if you are, and your children might not have done any, you know, except for learning some words and so on, might not have done any outstanding thing. But when the child does something outstanding, the father, all your young future fathers, you will see, one becomes so proud and happy in the heart if one is a father. I also don't know this feeling. I know it actually. Anyways, that's a different thing. In the spiritual way, yes. When some disciple does, the spiritual master becomes just so proud. He walks up and down the room and he says, "Wow!" and is so happy about the achievements of his disciple, more happy than the disciple. Prabhupada would, you know, talk about his disciples. They are great souls. He would say, "The moon-like devotees." He would show pictures around of, you know, the temple was built by my disciple. Everyone who came in this room, ambassadors, you know, the important people of the world. Yeah. Look at this Ratha Yatra. It was arranged by Karanda. He would always say, "our Karanda," expressing his affection like this. Prabhupada was so kind to it. I remember once when Prabhupada came to Schloss Rettershof, we had this wonderful kirtan in the hall, and we would not stop. It was so ecstatic. I remember I just was totally beside myself from joy. I couldn't think. You're just so much pleasure that Prabhupada had come. And then all of a sudden, I couldn't believe my eyes. His Pradyumna, or was it Hansa Duda? Someone just called us up, and we all went into Prabhupada's room. And you know, we all ran into the room, and I ran the first because I just pushed myself. I could run very fast at that time, and because I thought, no, it's not possible that all the devotees will go in the room, so I must go come in the room. You know, and ran just up the other staircase, which was not so occupied. You know, and I was one of the first who could in the room, and I was very sorry. You know, I had so much speed that I almost jumped in the room to make sure that I would be there. And Prabhupada looked at me a little that I should have had more tact to enter the room properly. Anyways, he didn't mind, and then he understood the mood. And then I saw that the whole temple came into the small room. Vishwadev knows the room in Schloss Rettershof, Prabhupada's room. It's not so big, actually. Somehow they all came in the room, and they said, you know, like if Gadara is sitting there on the wall, there were three etages of devotees above him, you know, just and always struggling to not fall over the other. It was hilarious. And Prabhupada sat there, and he just looked at us, and he was just so happy to see us. He did not talk, he just smiled, and we thought he was just looking at each one of us. He wanted to see us. We're just so happy to see his devotees, and also proud. He said, these German devotees I have seen with my own eyes. Whatever they do, they are very enthusiastic. I have seen with my own eyes. He was an eyewitness. He was so happy about this. So this is, you all, most of you are Vishnupad disciples, think about this. Wouldn't you like to be a moon of Vishnupad? One of the moons? Wouldn't you like to have this close relationship with your spiritual master? So what you have to do is internalize the teachings, that he doesn't always have to say again, service, do service, or the four regulative principles, change your rounds in the morning, or these things which we all know. Why not? We are intelligent people, at least. It doesn't need to be the most genius of all brains to absorb these instructions and do them. After all, if we do, then the guarantee of our spiritual master is there, that he will bring us back home, back to Godhead. Isn't that a wonderful guarantee? Isn't that something which is inspiring, something to live for, something to work on? We don't have to be perfect. If just we work on this, this is just so wonderful. So, Hare Krishna, I'm thanking you very, very much for listening to me. Sorry for being a little bit long, but this is just such a subject, you need to go a little bit into it. And obviously, any disciple likes to talk or think about these subjects in relationship to his own spiritual master. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Do you have any question regarding these subjects? Yeah, Lala Raman. Yeah. Lala Raman, this question is, can you say something to this point that one doesn't have to be perfect? See, in our line, we are called Gaudiya Vaishnavas. The role of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is extremely important. Other sampradayas do not really, either they don't know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as much, or they don't give him that important place that we have Goni Thai deities everywhere. Sometimes most of the Indians say, where's Radha Krishna when they come to the temple? They expect that because they rarely know about Lord Chaitanya. And if they know, don't give him the same respect. Now, there is a reason for this. The reason is that Krishna is very just, but Lord Chaitanya is very merciful. Krishna says, Yeya tamang prapadyante, in the degree you surrender, that degree I reward. Nicht? Sehr gerecht. Proportional, sozusagen. And he says, Sarvadamang Parijaja, you give up everything, surrender to me, and then Krishna is prepared to get into your life. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he doesn't make this condition at all. Just as Krishna is just, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is merciful. He gives the mercy even to Jagai and Madai. This we see in the Leela of Mahaprabhu. He gives the mercy to any, Lord Chaitanya gives the mercy to everyone who chants just Nityananda's name and takes shelter in Nitai. Very little is required, just the sincere endeavor. And then Lord Chaitanya will make up with what we miss. Actually, that is only God can do this, to make up for the difference. It's just like if we would ask, let me say, if we would ask Bhakta Bhuk, well, we really need some Lakshmi and Abenteuer. Please, could you give pay the place? It's not fully paid. Das muss man nicht laut sagen, oder? Jetzt kann man da nicht sagen, ja. We still need a little. It's good. And then you say, oh. Yes, I'm Sapsky. I'm a poor guest here. I'm sorry. I would like to give a few million dollars, but but imagine now, someone would come and say, some man would come in the room and would say, "Look, give what you can," and so, you know, you would offer maybe 13 marks and 26 pfennigs, you know, and you have been asked to give a million, and I will make up the rest. Just give what you can. And then you give your 30 marks and 26 pfennigs. Then this rich man would say, well, this means 900,999, whatever it is, you know, I would give that in addition. Wouldn't that be a wonderful person, you know, who would say this? So this is what Lord Chaitanya does, Radha Raman. If you give what you can, it may not be much, but if you try your best, Lord Chaitanya will make up the rest. Isn't that merciful? We may sometimes be fallen, we may sometimes have setbacks, also Rückschläge, we may sometimes be mental. Just give in whatever condition you are, try to give your best, and the rest will be made up. This is Gauranga. There's hope. Yeah. Diana. How we can do that, yeah. Yeah. Yes, very good question. How we can forgive others? If we don't do it, we can even criticize a great soul and fall down. Yes, very good. A very good question. My only answer, which I have now, I'm working on it. It's one of the points. Is you have to choose to concentrate on the good things. After all, you can choose. And every Vaishnava is very serious, otherwise he wouldn't be there. Work on it. It will not happen in 1 year or 2 years. It is something you have to be conscious about and sincerely work on it. And you just concentrate. What you can do is, instead of thinking from your perspective, why did he do this to me, try to walk in his shoes. That's also an Amerikanisch idiom. Means go in his situation. How does he see it from his perspective? And then you will see he has also reasons which are his own reasons. You may not agree with the reasons, but you will find out he has also something in his heart why he acted or she acted towards you like this. He sees a behavior of you and interprets it in a certain way and reacts. And have to, so much misery comes from this, isn't it? But if you forget and forgive, you're free, a free soul. very important. Mahaprabhu says we should be more tolerant than a tree. This is his teaching. Then you may have to cry yourself out on the shoulder of one or two Vaishnavas. He did this to me, why? And so on. But in your behavior, what you actually do and how you respond to the person, you should never be revengeful. You should just control whatever is there, the feeling of hurt, keep it for yourself. You need someone else to tell it to. We are human beings. And try to control your thoughts when you meet him. Have a friendly, normal Vaishnava etiquette relationship, and so on. Very important. Otherwise, you cut yourself in your own flesh, and it's in your own interest that you do this. Very nice question. Work on it, Diana. Every day when you have someone in your umski who is so on. If you think that this person is my enemy and you think of his bad qualities, then you, after some time, are full of the bad qualities. I often saw this in preaching. Sometimes our movement is criticized by liberalists, and you know, who say, anyways, is criticized. But after some time, I see them doing the same things which they criticize devotees for. It is mystical. Or let us use a simple example which is not so touchy. Someone says to us, you are fascist, they say, sometimes Kamis, because they criticize our authority structure. And then I'm always thinking, how can you say such a thing? You are very arrogant and you are very... I think you are a fascist. I'm saying this out of, you're not tolerant. Everything has to go according to your worldview. Can't you accept that there are others who feel different, who don't want to have a world like you have it, who therefore work on other things, and so on and so forth. Sometimes this we feel, sometimes women outside of the movement, they go so heavy on our case. They call me a chauvinist when I and all these things, you know, like, these are very bad words. I don't think you know what it all means. It's a really heavy word. And, you know, just... And one doesn't believe his ears any longer, but they all call you. And then you say, I'm very sorry if I have hurt your feelings. I have one mistake. I'm very temperamental, but please see it in a different way. Why are they doing it like this? They're afraid of lusty entanglements. That's why the thing is done. It's maybe not so good. We are not perfect yet, but the motive is not a bad one. At least not the motive of the philosophy. Maybe some individuals are taking advantage, yes, and so on. But the motive is not bad. Forgive, please use your forgiveness. Otherwise, you will become the heavy, hard-hearted person. It's in your own worst interest. Not preaching like this to outsiders who criticize. Gut, Kundalata. It's a little complicated. It just means to do two steps before you react. You're finding yourself in a situation where you... Is it this? Yesterday I talked from morning to evening. Then you are feeling an impulse to react. First, think about it. Don't react immediately. Think about it first. Use your spiritual knowledge before you react. And think, is it a good way to respond? For instance, yesterday some people came to me and a very mystical thing. There was an UFO had come. It had been over the house and they had made a video from it. And then this one, it was a girl, she was attacked by the inhabitants of the UFO and they cut her open with their laser, whatever the chirurgy they have, the surgery they have, and took parts of her out, and they're missing. She was operated, that's for sure. So I heard all this, you know, they were talking on and on how cruel they were and how this one guy looked at the girl and she can never forget it and it's all a trauma and blah, blah, and so on and so forth. And before I would have, you know, so then I said, how can I help now? I'm not so esoteric and I really don't believe it, what they say. There were some reasons why I didn't believe. I didn't believe it so dramatic, that it was so dramatic. Something was there, obviously. But now the reaction which I would have, I'm now, since so long a preacher, I have learned this. But a normal person would express his disbelief. Glaube ich nicht. But this would not help the girl who was obviously having something, and something happened, you know, but not so wild, maybe, how it was explained. Because this is researched, and there's a book by Sada Puda, and it was not like one of these classical abductions which do happen, Sada Puda says. Anyways, so I thought this wouldn't help her if I say my disbelief, and I said, well, how can we help her? Then I said, you are now afraid that they will come back, isn't it? Well, it's very simple. Gleich und gleich gesellt sich gern. Those who are of the same liking and so on, same consciousness, they come together. They can only do this, this is proven, if you are in material consciousness. So my recommendation is to start chanting and stop eating meat. Then you will be free from these visits. And that's 100% sure. I know about this. It works. You know, that's what we do when sometimes ghosts are there. Maybe we have a picture of Lord Narsingadev. We do a little puja and we try to uplift our consciousness and we try to spread an atmosphere so that gleich und gleich, that we are not gleich und gleich any longer, that we are not the same, you know, that we have changed ourselves and we have changed the atmosphere, and then it doesn't happen. And happily they walked out of the room, and Swamiji has said the truth and the way and the and so on. I think others can help you, because I talked to several devotees individually about this point, and others can help you understand better. It's important if you want to change something in this life, this step process. Please ask other devotees for details. Yeah, we are now getting a little late. You can ask, we can go up. I need to finish the class really here, because otherwise we don't do our duties. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gauri Nitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol, Hari Hari Bol.